in the face and in the groove, tech tales and funding blaze. Welcome to Startup Jazz. Startup Jazz.
Yeah. Welcome back, darling. You're listening to Startup Jazz, Episode 7. I'm your host, George, and as always, I'm sitting here with the sharpest mind in the business, the one who can find the right key for any market, my friend Michelle.
George, you always set the perfect tone. It's wonderful to be back with you and our listeners. I'm ready to dive into this week's Rhythm of Deals. We have quite the set list today, from robotic hands playing their own tune to a massive $10 billion M&A that's hitting a real crescendo in the biotech space.
That's right, baby. We're going to look at the whole orchestra of innovation today. Some cats are playing in a small combo, finding a niche, while others are leading a full big band, aiming for a sound that fills the whole stadium. It's all about finding your groove. First up, we've got a collection of interesting deals that might have been playing a little soft, a little under the radar. Crunchbase put together a list, and it's full of hardware startups hitting some real sweet notes.
It's a fascinating countermelody to the usual software-dominated news, isn't it? The first one that caught my eye is Indomo, a company started by a Hims & Hers co-founder, Jack Abraham. They've just emerged from stealth with a $25 million funding round.
Hims & Hers. Now, they knew how to keep a steady tempo, building their audience piece by piece. So what's this new composition from Mr. Abraham? Is he trying to play the same tune in a different key?
That's a perfect way to put it. Indomo is taking the direct-to-consumer telehealth model and applying it to acne care. Specifically, they're developing something called the ClearPen, a microneedle device that allows consumers to administer prescription corticosteroid injections for acne at home.
Whoa, now, injections at home? That sounds like a complex solo to pull off without hitting a sour note. You need precision, timing, a real steady hand. What's the story there? Is the market ready for that kind of improvisation in their own bathroom?
Well, the investors seem to think so. Atomic, Foresight Capital, and Polaris Partners are backing them. The context is that the pandemic really accelerated the public's comfort with at-home medical care. Think about the rise of Ozempic and other self-administered injectables. Indomo is riffing on that existing consumer behavior. Jack Abraham founded the company in 2023, and his whole angle is that this is the first major innovation in acne care since Accutane. He wants to bridge the gap between ineffective topical treatments and waiting weeks for a dermatologist appointment.
So it's about accessibility, shortening the rest, so to speak. Instead of a long, drawn-out process, you get that instant hit. I can see the appeal. But what about the risks, darling? A misplayed note in healthcare can have real consequences.
Absolutely. Safety is the main counterpoint they'll have to address. The company is still in phase 2 clinical trials, so they're moving carefully. The device is designed for precision and patient safety. Their business model seems to be a classic direct-to-consumer play, likely a subscription or per-device model. The upside is a massive market of people suffering from cystic acne who want immediate relief. The downside? Regulatory hurdles, consumer trust, and competition from traditional dermatology and other telehealth platforms.
It's like a Thelonious Monk tune. Unconventional, maybe a little jarring at first, but if they get the harmony right, it could be brilliant. They gotta prove their rhythm is safe and steady before people would dance to their music.
Exactly. And their long-term vision is to use the ClearPen technology for other skin conditions, so they're not just a one-hit wonder. They want to compose a whole suite of treatments.
Well, now, from skin to steel. The next act on our list is a robotics company out of Zurich, Mimic Robotics. They just raised $16 million. Now, robotics, that's a section of the orchestra that's always trying to find a new sound.
And Mimic has a very specific sound they're aiming for. You know the debate in robotics, George, to be a full humanoid or not. Mimic is taking a hybrid approach. They're not building a full walking, talking robot like something out of a sci-fi movie. Instead, they're focusing on just the most complex part, the hands.
Just the hands, you say? Like a disembodied piano player, just focusing on the keys that matter. I like that. Less is more, as Count Basie would say. Keep it simple, keep it swinging.
Precisely. Their product is a pair of AI-driven, dexterous robotic hands and arms that sit on a rolling tabletop. They can be deployed in a factory or a retail setting. The co-founder, Stefan Daniel Gravert, said, and I quote, "Humanoids are exciting, but there aren't many industrial scenarios where the full body form factor truly adds value." They believe pairing their advanced hands with existing off-the-shelf robotic arms is simpler, more reliable, and faster to deploy.
That's smart ensemble plan. You don't need every instrument to be a brand new invention. Sometimes you take a classic, steady baseline, the proven robot arm, and you layer a brilliant improvisatorial trumpet solo over the top, their AI-powered hands. What's their funding history look like?
This $16 million was a heavily oversubscribed seed round, bringing their total to $20.8 million. It was led by Alaya and Speed Invest, with a whole host of other VCs joining in. The company was founded in 2021, and they are riding a powerful wave. Robotics funding is on track to hit its highest level since 2021. They're competing with companies like Figure and the Bot Co., who are going for the full humanoid form. But Mimic believes their focused approach is their competitive advantage. It's a lower-cost, more targeted solution.
I see they groove. They're not trying to be Duke Ellington, orchestrating a whole big band. They're more like a tight jazz trio, focused on perfect interplay between a few core instruments. The risk is whether the market ultimately decides it wants the full orchestra. But for now, that's a sweet, focused melody they plan. All right, that's a fine start. Let's pause for a moment and let these ideas breathe. Time for a little musical interlude. That's a smooth transition. That little piano riff reminds me that even in the most complex arrangements, it's the simple, clear melodies that stick with you.
I agree, George. And speaking of complex arrangements, our next company is operating on a whole different stage. Literally. We're talking about Lambda Vision, a startup developing an artificial retina in space.
In space, you say? Well, now that's taking your music to a whole new sphere. Talk about playing on a higher plane. That sounds like some Sun Ra cosmic jazz right there. Tell me more, darling.
It's truly out there. Lambda Vision, based in Connecticut, just closed a $7 million seed round. Their mission is to create a protein-based artificial retina for people with degenerative diseases, like macular degeneration. The incredible part is how they're doing it. They are manufacturing these retinas aboard the International Space Station.
The International Space Station? Why on Earth, or off Earth, I should say, do they need to do that? Is the gravity down here messing with their rhythm?
That is exactly it. According to the company, creating the highly uniform 200-layer protein thin films needed for the retina is extremely challenging in Earth's gravity. The microgravity environment of the ISS allows for a much more precise and perfect layering process. It's the ultimate clean room. Their CEO, Nicole Wagner, says this funding underscores the potential of space-based biomanufacturing.
It's like John Coltrane pushing the very boundaries of what a saxophone could do. They're pushing the boundaries of manufacturing. So who's backing this interstellar jam session?
The round was co-led by 776, which is Alexis Ohanian's firm, and Aurelia Foundry, with support from space tech investor Seraphim Space. This brings their total raised to $13.7 million, and that includes a $5 million grant from NASA back in 2020. So they've had institutional support for a while. Founded in 2009, they've been playing the long game, a slow, patient ballad waiting for the technology and opportunity to align.
A decade and a half? That's a long time to keep the band together without a hit record. The upside is revolutionary. Restoring sight is a beautiful, beautiful composition. The downside must be astronomical, literally. The cost, the logistics, the risk is off the charts.
Completely. The burn rate must be immense. Every manufacturing run is a rocket launch. But if they can scale this, they create a moat that is quite literally out of this world. No competitor can easily replicate a manufacturing facility on the ISS. It's an incredible story of scientific dedication.
It's a high wire act with no net, but if they land it, Let's bring it back down to Earth for a moment. What's the next tune?
A much more playful one. This is Stickerbox, a New York-based toy company that raised a $7 million seed round just 2 months after its inception.
2 months? That's not a slow ballad. That's a blistering fast bebop solo, like something from Charlie Parker. What did they do to get investors moving so fast?
The story is fantastic. Co-founder Robert Whitney, who is an alumnus of the AI company Anthropic, said his four-year-old son asked him, "Can we make our own coloring sheets?" This sparked the idea. He teamed up with Arun Gupta, formerly of the fashion marketplace Grailed, and they created Stickerbox. It's a small cube, a voice-powered AI creativity tool for kids. A child just says what they want a sticker of, say, a unicorn eating a rainbow cupcake, and the box uses generative AI to create and print a unique sticker on the spot.
Well, I'll be. So it's a little magic box that improvises art on demand. That's got a real charm to it. And the investors liked the sound of that?
They loved it. The round included Mavron, the AI2 incubator, and even Serena Williams' venture fund, Serena Ventures. A key selling point is that it's screen-free. Like the popular Yodo and Tonyvox audio players, it's tech-enabled but avoids the concerns about excessive screen time for kids. Also, for privacy, the company says the box doesn't collect voice data and has no camera.
That's the harmony parents are looking for. The fun of technology without the discordant notes of privacy issues or screen addiction. What's the business model? Sell the box and then the sticker refills?
That seems to be the play. A classic razor and blades model. The box is the initial purchase, and the proprietary sticker paper is the recurring revenue. The challenge will be the cost of the device and the consumables, and whether the novelty wears off. But as a seed stage concept, it's a powerful and simple idea that clearly resonated. It's a pure, simple melody that's easy to hum along to.
I can see the appeal. It's got that call and response element. The child makes a request and the box delivers. A nice little duet. All right, let's take one more pause, let the rhythm settle before we get into our next set. Yeah, that beat's got a nice, steady pulse. Just like a good business needs a solid foundation. Back to the show. Michelle, we've covered home healthcare, robotic hands, space readiness, and AI stickers. What's the final number from this particular collection?
The last one is a deep cut, George. A real technical piece from the UK. It's a company called Milvis Advanced, out of Oxford. They've raised a $6.9 million seed round to develop lab-grown alternatives to rare earth metals.
Rare earth metals. Now that's a geopolitical blues song right there. Supply chains, trade disputes, a whole lot of tension in that music. China's holding the main stage on that one, right?
Exactly. China has a near monopoly on the production and processing of these 17 critical elements, which are essential for everything from iPhones and EV motors to defense systems. This creates a massive vulnerability for the rest of the world. Milvis is trying to compose a new solution. They are designing low-cost nanomaterials from abundant elements that can replace these scarce, strategic materials.
So they're trying to change the instrumentation of modern technology. Instead of using that one rare, hard-to-find trumpet, they're figuring out how to make a whole new horn out of common materials that sounds just as sweet. That's some serious alchemy. Who's the band leader behind this?
The company was founded in 2022. While specific founder details are a bit under wraps, as is common with deep tech startups, it's spun out of research from Oxford. The funding round was led by Hoxton Ventures, with participation from a list of impressive VCs, including Lower Carbon Capital. They're currently testing their nano alloys and membranes with major global manufacturers in the clean energy and chemical sectors.
So they're already in the studio, testing out the tracks with the big producers. That's a good sign. The market for this is enormous, and the strategic importance is off the charts. This isn't just about business, it's about economic security. The risk, of course, is the science itself. It's a high-level improvisation. Can their lab-made material truly perform like the real thing at scale?
That's the billion-dollar question. It's a long, arduous R&D process, but the investor interest in this space is building to a crescendo. VCs are pouring money into everything from battery recycling to new mining tech to solve this rare earth problem. Milvus is offering one of the most elegant solutions. What if we don't need to mine them at all?
It's like Miles Davis changing his whole sound, going from acoustic to electric. It's a fundamental shift in the melody, a powerful idea. Speaking of big shifts, that brings me to our next topic. We've been talking about raising money, but what about the final performance, the grand finale, when a founder sells their business? An article from Entrepreneur laid out the essential players you need in your band for that final show.
Yes, the exit, the moment every founder dreams of, but many are unprepared for. The article stresses the importance of assembling your team of advisors early. It's not a solo performance, it's a carefully orchestrated piece of music. It highlights four core advisors.
Lay 'em on me, darling. Who's in this quartet?
First, the tax advisor. The author tells a story of saving a client $1.8 million in taxes because they started planning years before the sale. It's about structuring the deal to protect the proceeds. The second is the legal advisor. They make sure what's agreed upon verbally is perfectly written in the contract, a bit like a composer making sure every note on the sheet music is precise to avoid any misinterpretation by the orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Can't have any ad-libbing when it comes to the legal sheet music. Every dot, every rest matters. What about the other two?
The third is the wealth advisor. This is the person who helps make the proceeds from the sale last a lifetime. The article notes they've seen founders with a million-dollar exit create generational wealth, while others burn through it in a couple of years. It's about matching the investment philosophy to the founder's life goals.
So they're the conductor for the rest of your life's financial symphony. I like that. And the fourth?
The fourth is the one many founders overlook, the value advisor. This isn't the broker who finds the buyer at the end. This is the advisor who comes in years before and helps you grow the business's value to meet your target sale price. If your business is worth $1 million, but you want to sell for $5 million, the value advisor creates the roadmap to bridge that gap. They help you build the song up to its crescendo before you even think about the finale.
Now that makes a world of sense. You don't just show up on stage and hope for the best. You practice, you rehearse, you build the arrangement piece by piece. You bring in a producer, the value advisor, to help you get that hit record sound. This is about being intentional, about composing your exit, not just improvising it at the last minute. A beautiful lesson for any founder out there. All right, let's take another break here before we get into the really big numbers. Welcome back to Startup Jazz. That last segment got me thinking. It's one thing to build a nice little combo, but it's another thing entirely to conduct a 100-piece orchestra with a valuation in the billions. That's what we're talking about next, the biggest funding rounds of the week.
And George, the scale of these rounds is staggering. It feels like the tempo of the entire market has picked up, especially in AI. Leading the charge is a company called Anisphere, the parent company of the coding automation platform Cursor. They raised, wait for it, $2.3 billion in a Series D.
$2.3 billion? Well, now, that's not just a hit record, baby. That's a whole genre-defining symphony. That's a sound that changes everything. Tell me about the band leader, Anisphere.
Anisphere was founded just last year, in 2023, by Michael Truell and Aman Sanger. They're building Cursor, which is an AI-first code editor designed to help developers build software faster. Think of it as a supercharged version of VS Code, where AI is not just an add-on, but the core of the experience. It helps with writing, editing, and debugging code.
So they're giving every developer their own personal Duke Ellington, an orchestrator to help them arrange their code perfectly.
What's the funding history that led to this massive crescendo?
It has been an incredible accelerando. This $2.3 billion Series D round was backed by a who's who of investors: Accel, Thrive Capital, Andreessen Horowitz, DST Global, Coatue, and even strategic giants like NVIDIA and Google. This round sets their post-money valuation at a jaw-dropping $29.3 billion. For context, that's more than a 3x increase from the valuation they got just 6 months ago.
$29 billion for a company that's barely a year old. That's some Charlie Parker-level speed right there. The market must believe that AI-powered coding is the future of all software development. There's no way to justify that kind of valuation. What's the bear case, darling? What's the discordant note in this arrangement?
The primary risk is the sheer hype. Is this valuation based on current revenue and traction, or is it a bet on total market domination? The competition is also fierce. You have Microsoft with GitHub Copilot, Amazon with Code Whisperer, and countless other startups. AnySphere has to prove their tune is fundamentally better, not just louder. There's also the risk of the AI models they rely on becoming commoditized. Their moat has to be the user experience and the workflow integration, not just the underlying AI.
So they've got to create a groove so deep and so comfortable that no developer wants to leave the dance floor. It's a bold, beautiful, and terrifying bet all at once. Let's move down the list. What's the next biggest round? Still in the billions?
Not quite, but still huge. The number two spot goes to Chaos Industries, a defense tech startup which secured $510 million in new funding.
From AI code to defense tech, that's like switching from a smooth jazz lounge to a powerful militant marching band. What's the story with Chaos Industries?
They are a three-year-old company based in Los Angeles, founded in 2022. They focus on counter-drone radar and communication systems. In today's geopolitical climate, the threat from small, inexpensive drones is a massive problem for militaries worldwide. Chaos Industries is building the advanced systems to detect, track, and neutralize those threats.
So they're the rhythm section for national security, keeping the beat safe from unwanted interruptions. Who's backing this operation?
The round was led by Valor Equity Partners and sets a $4.5 billion valuation for the company. This is part of a major trend we're seeing. For years, Silicon Valley VCs were hesitant to get into the defense space, but now firms like Andreessen Horowitz and Founders Fund are leading the charge. The thinking is that national security is too important to be left to the slow-moving traditional defense contractors. Startups can innovate at a much faster tempo.
They can improvise, they can adapt. They're not stuck playing the same old sheet music from 40 years ago. The upside is clear: massive government contracts and a mission-driven purpose. The downside? The sales cycles with governments are notoriously long and complex. It's a very different kind of performance than selling software to developers. You need patience. You need to be able to hold a long, steady note.
And you're dealing with life and death applications. There is no room for error, no move fast and break things. The quality and reliability have to be flawless from the first note. It's a very different composition.
Indeed. All right, a lot to think about there. Let's take our final little music break before we round out the set list. And we're back. You know, that little break had a nice funky bass line. It had a real consumer-friendly groove to it, and that fits our next couple of companies perfectly. We've talked deep tech, we've talked defense. Let's talk about things people buy.
A perfect transition, George. Let's talk about Skims, the shapewear and clothing brand founded by Kim Kardashian. They just landed $225 million in new financing led by Goldman Sachs.
Skims. Now there's a brand that found its melody and played it loud and clear. From day one, they knew their audience. What does this new funding do for them?
This round sets a new valuation of $5 billion for the six-year-old company. It's a testament to their incredible growth and brand power. Skims was founded in 2019 by Kim Kardashian, Emma Greed, and Jens Greed.
They started with shapewear but have masterfully expanded into loungewear, underwear, and now even menswear. They have managed to do what many celebrity brands fail to do, build a real, durable business with a fanatically loyal customer base.
It's that Ella Fitzgerald versatility, you see. She could sing a ballad, she could scat, she could swing with the best of them. Scam started with one clear note, shapewear, but they've shown they can sing in all sorts of different styles. Their marketing is like a perfectly arranged big band, every piece working in harmony.
That's so true. They use a combination of high fashion aesthetics and inclusive messaging that resonates powerfully. The business model is primarily direct to consumer, which gives them high margins and a direct relationship with their customers. This funding will likely be used for international expansion and moving into more physical retail locations. The risk? Fashion is fickle. Can they maintain this incredible tempo, or will another brand come along with a catchier tune? But for now, their performance is flawless.
$5 billion says they're playing more than a fleeting pop hit. That sounds like a standard that's going to be around for a while. Now, what about another consumer name on this list, GoPuff? They seem to be playing a very different rhythm.
A very different rhythm indeed. GoPuff, the fast delivery company, picked up $250 million in new funding. This is a company that was a darling of the pandemic era when everyone wanted everything delivered in 30 minutes.
I remember that music, a fast, frantic tempo. But a lot of those bands broke up when the world opened back up. How is GoPuff still playing?
It's been a challenging arrangement for them. Founded way back in 2013 by Yakir Gola and Rafael Ilyashayev, they were pioneers. They've raised a staggering $3.7 billion to date. But the post-pandemic world has been tough. The unit economics of instant delivery are notoriously difficult. It's a low-margin, high-logistics business. This new funding, led by Eldridge Industries and Valor Equity Partners, feels more like survival capital than explosive growth funding. They are trying to find a new, more sustainable rhythm.
So it's less of a wild improvisational solo and more of a careful, deliberate effort to find a steady groove they can maintain. They're modulating to a new key, the key of profitability.
Exactly. They've been cutting costs, closing unprofitable micro-fulfillment centers, and trying to improve their margins. The bull case is that they have a huge network and brand recognition, and if they can solve the economic puzzle, they could be a dominant player in convenience commerce. The bear case is that the model itself is fundamentally flawed, and the competition from DoorDash and Uber Eats is just too intense. This funding gives them more runway to figure it out, but the pressure is on.
A very different story from Scams. One is a beautiful crescendo of success. The other is a tense, syncopated struggle to find harmony. Fascinating stuff, darling.
It really is. And for our last big story, we're going back to the world of biotech. But this time, it's not about funding. It's about a massive exit.
The final bow. Let's hear it.
The company is Metsera, a 3-year-old developer of drugs for weight loss. They were just acquired by Pfizer in a deal worth up to $10 billion.
$10 billion for a 3-year-old company. That is a finale with some serious fireworks. This whole GLP-1 weight loss drug scene is like a whole new genre of music taking over the charts.
It absolutely is. And the big pharmaceutical companies are desperate to have a hit in this genre. Pfizer bought into a litigious bidding war with Novo Nordisk, the maker of Ozempic, to acquire Metsera. It shows how valuable this pipeline of next-generation obesity treatments is. Metsera only went public on the NASDAQ 9 months ago, and last year they had disclosed over $500 million in venture funding, with Arch Venture Partners as their biggest backer.
So the VCs who got in early on that tune are hearing some mighty sweet music right now. That's a life-changing return. It shows the power of getting the timing just right, hitting that downbeat perfectly.
The entire space is hot. The article lists other big fundraises, like Kylera Therapeutics raising a $600 million Series B. Investors are betting that as popular as drugs like Ozempic are, there's still room for improvement. Oral versions, drugs with fewer side effects, more targeted treatments. It's a massive market, and we are still in the opening bars of this symphony.
An incredible story.
From a small seed of an idea to a $10 billion exit. That's the kind of music that keeps the whole startup world dreaming. Well, now, that was quite the set list today, baby. We've heard it all.
We really have. From deep tech solos and AI symphonies to the steady rhythm of consumer brands and the grand finale of a biotech M&A. The key takeaway for me, George, is the diversity of innovation. It's not just one sound, one genre. There are incredible compositions happening in every corner of the economy.
That's the truth of it. It's a beautiful, complicated, sometimes chaotic jam session out there. Some are playing fast, some are playing slow, some are sticking to the classics, and some are inventing something brand new. The most important thing is that they all playing. They all adding their voice to the music of progress. And that, darling, is always a beautiful thing to hear.
Beautifully said, George. I think that's the perfect note to end on.
I think so, too. We're going to let a beautiful piece of music take us out now. A little something to let all these ideas settle in your mind.
A perfect choice, as always. Thanks for listening, everyone.
You've been listening to Startup Jazz. Keep your ears open, keep finding your groove, and we'll catch you next time. Take it away, fellas.
Sun hits the screen where the lines used to drag. Now they spike like a rocket, ain't no turning back. PMF Sunlock finally found the key. Users pouring and the data sings to me. Coffee's hot, but my heart's hotter still. Old doubts fade like a distant hill. Dashboard glows with a sweet northward bend. We did it, team. This is the ascent. No more pivot blues, no more what if sighs. Numbers dance, now paint clear skies. Every tick's a cheer, every peak's a win. This feeling's golden, let the good times begin. The hockey stick, that beautiful line, climbs to the stars, yeah, we're shining at night. Joy in the room, fire in the soul. We built this wave and we're riding it whole. The hockey stick, proof we belong. Through the late nights, the almost the strong. Now the world sees what we always knew. This is the moment our dream came true. Investor calls now, they're asking to chat. Your story's the one we wanna back that. Burn rates calm, cash flows gotta swing. Teams high-fiving, laughing like we're kids again. Whiteboard's no ghost, it's filled with new plans. Next stop bigger, we're holding the reins. Every Slack pings a high-five and text. This is the rush, the perfect context. No more pivot blues, no more what if sighs. Numbers dance, now painting clear skies. Every tick's a cheer, every peak's a win. This feeling's golden, let the good times begin. The hockey stick, that beautiful line, climbs to the stars, yeah, we're shining tonight. Joy in the room, fire in the soul. We built this wave and we're riding it whole. The hockey stick, proof we belong. Through the late nights, the almost the strong. Now the world sees what we always knew. This is the moment our dream came true. Soft piano sways with the vibe in the air. Sax hums sweet like a floating on air. We toast to the grind, the tears, the fight, to the day the numbers took their first flight. Uncertainty's gone, replaced with pure light. This is the high, the sweetest delight. No more chasing, we've caught the spark. The hockey stick's written our mark. The hockey stick, that beautiful line, climbs to the stars, yeah, we're burning bright. Joy in the room, fire in the soul. We built this wave and we're owning the role. The hockey stick, proof we belong. Through the late nights, the almost the strong. Now the world sees what we always knew. This is the moment our dream came true. Dashboard glows, the line keeps climbing. Hearts are light, our song still rhyming. The hockey stick, our lucky sign. Forever we'll chase this sweet, sweet high.